Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to A Change in Attitude, where we go back to the Attitude Era of WWF Raw and the pay-per-views and give a 2021 look at them. But I cannot do this journey alone. I've got two of my Twitter besties along the ride with me. Firstly, Ori, how are you?
You know, it's early. This is a lot earlier than we normally record, but... I think we're all, yeah, we're all hyped up on caffeine. Well, most of us, and we're gonna get this done. We've got it. We're gonna take an hour show and make it in 30 minutes. Let's go. Let's do it. Wow.
I'll have to actually slow down the volume and the pitch of the show to stretch it out. But Tanner, you, how are?
I well is doing.
Nice. Like the worst Yoda impersonation ever.
Football happening. Wrestling. Good.
Is it though? Is it?
these adverts for SummerSlam just really get me in the mood for some wrestling.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so there.
Oh, so talking about that, then let's get into this week's episode. So we are covering Monday Night Raw from July the 22nd, 1996. Ori, what episode number is that on the Peacock app?
That is going to be Season 4, Episode 29 from Seattle, Washington in the Key Arena.
Yes, and there were in attendance 6,755. And as we went through last month, we'll be here for a while. I think they film a total of 4 episodes in this arena. And before we actually get into the show, what did you guys think of the look of the arena compared to the one that we got in the first few episodes?
Yeah, it looks different.
The more the show goes on, I think everybody's going to figure out me and Mags totally had our coffee and poor Tanner's just like,
asleep.
Yes. okay.
I mean, for me personally, I thought this, it felt brighter. It wasn't as dingy. It seemed that there was a lot more people there. They did the kind of high and wide shots, which showed a fairly packed audience. There were little hints of sections being tarped off, but I felt that this had, especially for the first episode being filmed at this arena, it had an excitement that we maybe didn't get in the run-up to International Incident.
I could definitely agree with that. And especially, you know, it had hints of the more modern Raws, like in the late 90s, early 2000s, where we're getting shots of Seattle, we're getting shots outside of the arena, shots of people coming into the arena, and, you know, King commenting, hey, they're all coming in to see the King, and da-da-da-da-da. And so it felt like the beginning of a turn. You know what I'm saying? A change in perspective, a change in attitude, a change in how they'd film. So, like, there were certain things that were still filmed similarly to, like, the camera angles still aren't great all the time. The switching from one camera to another and moving, you know, following along with the action, like, that's still there. But the viewpoint and how they're looking at the arena, the crowd, different things like that, especially in that opening, were very different. And I felt like the title card and the opening title card sequence and whatnot was a little bit different. Like, the music was the same, but they were changing the graphics. They were changing different things like that.
Well, yeah, I can see what you mean. And they popped a little bit more than the ones that we've watched originally.
Mm-hmm. Furthermore to that point, just to piggyback off of what Ori had said, if I'm not mistaken, every other episode that we've covered up until now was all filmed in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Am I right? Yeah. So just imagine being a wrestling fan in Green Bay, Wisconsin, attending this long session of where they're filming everything for a whole month, right? A whole month's worth of content. I mean, how many times can you stand up and get excited about Shawn Michaels, right? I mean, that's it can get hard to do. So
ask Vince. Vince was excited every time.
He was on.
What a maneuver. Which felt like the entire theme of the show for me. Because I felt like every 5 minutes I heard, what a maneuver. What a maneuver.
but he's, I mean, the crowd seems reinvigorated. They seem ready to watch some wrestling. Yeah, this is a nice change.
It'll be interesting to, in about 3 or 4 weeks, to compare and contrast that, see whether the crowd dip in that final hour or so of recording. Mm-hmm. Because I assume around this time they didn't just record the Raws, they recorded all the stuff for like the challengers and superstars and the international show. So you were recording maybe a 6 hour block of wrestling, and how much do we complain about WrestleMania nowadays when it's 7 hours long and fans get tired and cranky? And I assume that we will see this fan, the fan excitement decrease as we go along.
Well, and how many dark matches can you watch? You know, like how many unexciting, like, dark matches are you like, oh, well, I guess that's Hillbilly, you know, Jim.
Again, I think it would have definitely, you know, and of course hindsight's 2020, but, and I know that, you know, with the camera equipment and the lights and everything, it's a lot to tear down and set up and move from one city to another, even nowadays with the money that they've got. I think it would have done them a better service to maybe have a shorter show and maybe do it every other week, you know, so they're in Key Arena in Seattle this week, record it for this week and next week, then move on to the next city, do 2 Raws worth, and then, you know, move on to SummerSlam or wherever else, you know. But again, hindsight's 2020. Just to keep that energy up, you know.
Yeah, and of all the things that WCW brought to the table, that was one that has really kind of stood the test of time. They brought live wrestling to the show, which meant that WWE had to do that, and it changed that whole kind of like pre-recorded philosophy where they would film in massive blocks. Now so much they don't. They are a week-to-week show. So we do have Eric Bischoff to thank for that. But let's get into the show now. And it's Shawn Michaels' birthday. We also found out that it was Bob Dole's birthday, Fabulous Moolah's birthday as well. All the big stars have their birthday on the 22nd of July, allegedly. And we are opening with the tag team titles on the line, the Smoking Guns, with Sonny taking on Ahmed Johnson and Shawn Michaels, who brings out his coach, Jose Lothario. And Sonny has brought a huge cake for Shawn Michaels. I wonder why. But anyway.
Because it's his birthday and she's being nice. And
he definitely would want a piece of that cake. But anyway, we don't actually get the match. Shawn Michaels super kicks Billy Gunn's face off, and then we get Sonny attempting to attack Shawn with the cake, but she gets caught by Shawn, and then she gets face planted by Ahmed. Shawn sexually assaults a kiss out of her, so the match gets
twice
essentially...
actually.
Allegedly,
he gets
allegedly.
Her twice.
Yeah. Allegedly,
so the match gets thrown out, and we get Gorilla Monsoon saying this match will happen. Just later in the show, so we get the old bait and switch.
Yeah, what kind of sporting authority figure is Gorilla Monsoon? That man clearly got knocked out, and no sporting governing body would allow a man to compete later on in the night after that. This is terrible form by Gorilla.
It certainly is.
He had it coming. No, never mind.
So we actually then get the official opening match, Mark Miro versus the Goon.
Oh, dear God, have mercy.
Yes, the Goon, Wild Bill Irwin from WCW days, really leaning heavily into those kind of job gimmick characters. And wow, this was awful. This was horrible. I'm props to him for really going full in on the gimmick. He was there with his, it looked a bit like the Devil's jersey. He had boots that were very, very slim, kind of like roller skates.
Holy crap, those boots with like 2-inch platforms to mimic the skate part. Like that, for me, that was the worst part of the entire costume. Like I can see past the jersey, I can see past the pants with the hip padding, but dear God, those wrestling boots, like they just look like it made it so much harder for that man to move. Like if I could throw out anything from that match, it would be those goddamn shoes.
They have to go in all in the gimmick, and props to Bill Owen to be able to even put on anything resembling a wrestling match with those, because the first time you see him attempt to run from corner to corner, it looks like he's going to break his ankles at some point. So the fact that he survived and didn't, that's just thank the Lord. But this match, I think for me, the only interesting part of it was when we got the phone in from Jake Roberts. And yet again, King with his horrific takes on Jake's demons. How Vince, well, we know how Vince, because Vince is a douchebag, but this seemed awful. It seemed like they had Jake, who was clearly struggling, missed the last show because of his demons, and then having him ring in to be fully mocked on him, I thought was so distasteful.
And it wasn't just King, it was Stone Cold as well, because he was on commentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was just uncalled for. I mean, yes, it's a different time, but we're still talking about 1996. People's problems with their personal demons were still recognized back then. Surely a little bit of decorum and a little bit of support would have gone a long way. But wrestling got to be wrestling, and they took this real personal problem for Jake Roberts and attempted to make light and make a storyline of it on Raw. I just didn't care for that one little bit.
I mean, regarding another aspect of this particular segment, I found it quite interesting that there's this this really interesting dichotomy going on here throughout the segment, because you have the goon, right, who is this hockey player, this aspiring hockey player who's decided to get into wrestling. I'm not quite sure how he made those two connect, but obviously you have these kind of gimmicks, right? Like, oh, it's the goon, and then we've had plumbers, we've had Repo Man, Trash Man, Repo Man's probably somewhere. We've got two cowboys as tag team champions. We're in the midst of all these like gimmicks that are still locked in the 1980s, right? But then on the other hand, you've got a guy like Stone Cold Steve Austin on commentary, and he's radically different from pretty much everything else that's going on around him. I found that to be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very much baby steps into the reality / attitude era, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can definitely see, you know, that like there's that constant criticism of like, oh yeah, like Vince was, you know, like WWF was not catching up with the times in the 1996 leading up into like Attitude Era. You know, they were kind of falling behind on money at some points. And I mean, this is an age of WWF post grunge. This is post Nirvana. Nirvana's Nevermind had already come out. Smells Like Teen Spirit's already a song. You've got Pearl Jam. You've got Soundgarden on the airwaves. You've got Alice in Chains on the airwaves. But this still feels like, you know, I don't know, pre-1990 in a lot of ways. I don't know.
I mean, the most modern thing was Brian Pillman's Green Day shirt.
There you go. Nice, honestly. Nice touch, yeah.
But this was the other thing that I found interesting during the match, and it's actually something my husband pointed out. So this is all going on in 1996. Jake calls in from Atlanta. King makes a reference, is there an Olympic event for drinking? Which means the Olympics were going on in Atlanta at that time. So that would have been the same time period in which a future WWE superstar and future Hall of Famer, Kurt Angle, would have been winning his gold medal.
Wow, yeah, very, very true.
All of that would have been, and matter of fact, when they were bringing the Olympic torch through Baton Rouge, my mom, she was working for a hotel, and this is just random, not wrestling related at all, but they brought the torch through Baton Rouge, and her hotel won the bid to host the Olympic committee and group and the torch. And so after they did the whole ceremony downtown Baton Rouge, we went back to the hotel to check in on everything, and I got to see the torch and the Olympic flame at about 12, 13 years old. So
that's cool.
Yeah. So, and then I think the other thing that really stuck out about this match, just to get back on topic, was Marrow goes to bounce off of the ropes and take Goon down with a head scissors. And I can't tell
God,
who botched that where, but that, oh my gosh,
horrific.
It was horrible. And the crowd picked up on it immediately. They were like, oh God, that was bad. Yeah. And so,
I mean, luckily for the guys, the crowd actually get distracted straight after that by Bob Backlund, who was coming out doing his all kind of a Bob Dole running for president gig. But to really put a bow on this match, it ends up going to the outside. We see him Goon running on the arsing and slipping because you're wearing stupid shoes. Of course, you're going to slip. Basically a quick finish, a slingshot leg drop, and then a match over with 7 minutes, 15 seconds. What do you think of the opening matches general? and the crowd goes mild.
It was
It was there.
I lived through it.
It's one of the shortest matches we've had for an opening match so far in the Raws that we've covered. I mean, most of them are 12 minutes or more, give or take.
And it suppose it adds to this kind of mini push that we're getting with Mark Miro. He picks up a victory. We then go to some VT where Clarence Mason is pestering Gorilla Monsoon to sign his new star, who has just come out of prison and he wants to compete in the WWF again, but we only get a flash of the guy's, the back of the guy's head. I think it's meant to kind of keep the suspense up, but we know it's going to be Crush. We're all aware it's Crush.
We're not all aware. Thank you very much. Spoiler alert.
The show is 25 years old.
And I didn't watch it when it happened. That's my whole gimmick, Mags.
Well, it's Crush. It's clearly Crush. Then after that,
I still don't remember who that is, so I'll still be surprised.
There we go. So so then after that, we get Mankind taking on Freddie Joe Floyd, who, if you don't know, that's actually a wrestler called Tracy Smothers.
Yeah. I was surprised.
Yeah. He doesn't last very long. This is essentially a squash match. Just went short of 4 minutes. But I think that Tracy Smothers got quite a bit of offense in that 4 minutes.
He almost beat Mankind.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It was crazy.
With the Enziguri and the flying elbow. Yeah. Mm. But we get the Mankind finish with the mandible claw. Not really much to say about this match, to be fair. It just keeps that Mankind harp trainer running, I suppose.
Pretty much. I mean, it was an all right match. I kind of feel like that about almost all the matches on this card. It's like, it was all right.
I had the same kind of feeling. Even though we got squash matches, I don't actually mind squash matches. I think they do exactly what you need to do. It keeps the star winning, keeps the star relevant, and the matches don't have to go on too long. And then straight after the Mankind and Freddie Joe Floyd match, we get another squash match. Goldust taking on Barry Horowitz. And this is where we get Brian Pillman on commentary. And again, the commentary is probably the best thing about the match. He threatens to say the 7 words that you cannot say on TV.
He's also talking about the three ways. I think he's talking about the He's talking about some stuff.
He is. I mean, he's leaning into this canon gimmick.
Mm-hmm. Even at one point, they start talking about international incident, and Pillman literally tells Vince, "Will it put money in your pocket?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, here we go again. He's going to put Vince out on blast before he's ready. And honestly, Pillman was the best part of this match. Mm-hmm. Really and truly.
I
don't think most of it would fly today, but I just cracked up. I could not stop laughing at Pillman throughout this match. He was great.
Goldust obviously picks up the win with the curtain call just a little bit over 219. And maybe this is just the mood that I'm in, and maybe it's just because we've watched some of Russia play in Euro 2020, but I feel like they really missed the boat on maybe giving Goldust some like Soviet tendencies, maybe make it called the Iron Curtain, have him come out in red instead of gold, red dust. I don't know. I thought that would be interesting.
Wow. Wow. Leaning into your hate of the USSR.
I'm going to leave you on that island by yourself, buddy. Nope.
So,
just you, buddy. It's all you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
So after that, we get...
You can edit that if you want to. I don't care.
I'm leaving it in. I'm going to actually extend the pause and insert some tumbleweed music.
You should insert, like, repeat it and then, like, slow it down. Yeah. And put some reverb on it.
So after that, we get some backstage conversation with Sunny and the Smoking Guns, who are fuming that they have to have this this matchup, but they are insistent they are going to keep the titles. And then we get Jim Cornette, who lets us know that Vader has been confirmed as the number one contender for Sean's title at SummerSlam, and that he's going to steal Sean's lunch money. Jesus Christ. How old of a demographic were they going for with this show where he's going to steal Shawn Michaels' lunch money?
I would have been a kid at this age. I can definitely relate in that if you threatened to steal somebody's lunch money, you would likely be the one getting beaten up for even saying such a thing. I'm going to steal your lunch money.
Oh, Lord.
So that then leads us into our main event. Basically the restarted match that we were going to get in the opener, the Smoking Guns taking on Michaels and Ahmed Johnson. I actually thought this was a really, really good match. As much as the Smoking Guns doesn't work for me as a team, I think that Billy is a really good wrestler, and he's clearly shown that him and Shawn Michaels have a lot of chemistry, that they can put together a decent match. And Ahmed Johnson is always good for that quick burst after a hot tag of going round, kicking ass. And for me, it just worked. The finish comes when we get the DQ when Farouk, former WCW champion Ron Simmons, as Farouk Assad coming out with a tinfoil gladiator helmet on, carrying a lot of timber. The guy has bulked out for the WWF, a horrific kind of onesie-style singlet. He attacks Ahmed Johnson, and we've now got a feud going for the Intercontinental title with Farouk Assad taking on Ahmed Johnson. What did you guys think of the match, and what do you think of Farouk? I'll go with you first, Tanner.
Man, that outfit. I mean, geez. This goes back to kind of what I was saying about the goon, right? It's like you guys have got to like up your like creative game, your costume design game. I don't know what you did here. Like, this is this is so strange to me. I have the utmost respect for Ron Simmons and mm-hmm. Farouk as a character. Like that is an awesome gimmick. I like where they're going with it, but I feel like they just way undersold on like not undersold, but like underproduced on the on the costume. The match was pretty pretty good. It's pretty good. If you were gonna go and watch this match live, it would probably be really really exciting. Shawn Michaels, obviously. I mean, look, I get that I'm like the Shawn Michaels mark here. It is what it is. But as one Texas gentleman to another, fantastic job, Shawn. You've really been carrying this brand on your back. And hats off to you, sir. The smoking guns were there. They pretended that they were at least kind of from Texas. I don't know if Bart Gunn's from Texas or not. Billy is. They did the tag team stuff, and it was fine. Ahmed Johnson nearly killed either Billy or Bart at one point. There was a really nasty slam that power slam that did not get very well executed, but that's all right. You know,
it was Billy, and he just lets him go. Essentially, just releases him and just let die. Him
yeah, he just let him fly, and I was like, "Oh,
he dies, nice, he dies."
Pretty much. I was like, "Nice, Ahmed, you did that." But Ahmed Johnson, the angle after the match, that's where Ahmed Johnson really got me was. Him and Farouk, I have this feeling, are going to have some really, really good matches together.
Thank you for not spoiling that. Although Mag's face right now is spoiling so much.
No. I actually like Farouk. I actually really like Ahmed Johnson at this time. And that match is going to slap. It's two big beefy men slapping beef.
Not gonna say it.
Anyway, the match in and of itself was fine. There was excitement, and I'll agree with you, Tanner. Believe it or not, Shawn Michaels is carrying this company on his back, and he's carrying these matches, even when he's made out to be, you know, the isolated man, and you know. Carrying the beat down and letting Ahmed Johnson get that hot tag to come in and just decimate everybody. I mean, he plays it so well. You know, he's really carrying things. And I mean, I forgot where I was going with that. The coffee kicked in and now it's gone. Shawn Michaels is wonderful. Absolutely. And after the match, I thought it was funny how King kept trying to say, it's Ron Simmons. And Vince is all, we don't know who it is.
Shut up, King.
Like, shut up, King, you bastard. You know? And so, but of course, you know, one look at him, we all know it's Farouk, Ron Simmons.
Damn.
You know, whatever. And so I'm excited to see. I haven't seen a lot of Ron Simmons outside of, you know, the what was it called?
Yeah, him and Bradshaw.
APA. Thank you. I told you the coffee is already gone. It was there and now it's gone. So I'm excited to see. I haven't seen a lot of Ron Simmons just by himself, you know, as a singles competitor. So I'm excited to see where that goes. Sonny, obviously, they made it out that she set him up. She, you know, instrumented all that. That's exactly what I wanted, you know, and him telling her it's your kingdom now and blah, 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 means.
And that last little bit, I had to rewind and replay so many times because he was so hard to understand what he was saying. I got the first bit when he's saying from this day forth, but when he points to Sonny and says, this kingdom is yours, I was like, what did he say? Rewind. No, still couldn't get it.
That's why I watch with captions on.
I actually put subtitles on and that's how I got it. But
promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT. Get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I'm just happy we're introducing a new character and a new wrestler to the show, because whilst we've been doing this show, now we're on to episode 8, but 7 actual wrestling shows we've covered. We've not actually seen that much different wrestling. It's all been Mark Miro, Goldust, Mankind, Shawn, and Undertaker really kind of leading the charge, and then a little bit of Stone Cold. So it'll be cool to see more people being brought in, and hopefully some new and exciting wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because every time we get somebody new or that we haven't seen, it's a jobber, really and truly. So to see someone with a making a dynamic entrance and impact, as it were, you know, it's kind of fun. We haven't seen a whole lot of that yet. And, you know, that's one of my fond memories of watching WWF, WWE, is that, you know, you get a wrestler that you're somewhat familiar with, and they do either they do these giant builds like they did for Jericho when they came in with the countdown timer, or you get an all of a sudden run in like, oh my gosh, he's here, you know, or what have you. And we haven't, this is the first time we're seeing that in this era that we're covering. And so it makes me excited to catch some more.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I'll go to you first, Tanner. What did you think of this show overall, as compared to the shows that we've watched in this run so far? And what for you stands up, and what for you falls flat?
For as much as we kind of not give criticism to that, to the amount of squash matches that we had earlier in this show, I actually thought this was one of the better ones once you get like to the main event, the big main event segment. I thought it was really good. Obviously the things that fall flat for me, I don't know, but the Goldust matches was okay. The King stuff was kind of weird. I don't know. I guess I'm just tired of hearing King just nonstop, you know, railroad Jake the Snake Roberts. But I get that's kind of his thing. He's the King, and he's supposed to be making fun of people, and, you know, thinking that he's above everybody. And yeah, that's there is a definitive line considering what we know now from history. Farouk, like Ori pointed out, debuting is fantastic, because yes, you know, we have been seeing the same characters over and over and over and over and over again. It's time to inject some fresh blood into this Raw here, you know. So
absolutely,
I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Aura, yourself, what do you think of the show compared to the ones that we've watched in this early days of a changing attitude? And then your highlights and lowlights of the show.
I definitely liked this one better. There were points definitely that I felt like I had trouble engaging or staying engaged. Like, I found myself checking my phone, like I do. And some of that may just be where we are in the world right now. You know, none of us have really, you know, with the advent of all the screens and so much information, you know, I mean, we were watching Sweet Tooth on Netflix last night, and I caught myself playing a game while, quote unquote, watching the show. And so, you know, I'll admit that some of that, it may be my own ADHD, maybe just the times that we're in where we switch things every 5 minutes just because we get bored easily. But I mean, overall, it was definitely a better show. I liked the look of the show, the way they started the show better. They seem to be getting a little bit better with camera angles and stuff like that. I also agree with Tanner again, believe it or not, with the King stuff. You know, I think there is a definite reason as to why JR is still working in this day and age and King isn't, because he made that gimmick so much of his shtick that how do you, you know, and because of the advent of the internet and because we've pulled back the curtain so far and because wrestlers have allowed us to a degree into their personal lives to see who they are as people, you know, how do you keep that line and still remain edgy? And I don't know that King really knows how to do it that well without crossing that line, you know, and making things sexual or degrading or, you know, putting other people down. And so, I mean, not to say that King's a good or bad person. It's just his character doesn't work anymore, you know, with our day and age. I mean, even back then in 96, you know, WWF is promoting AOL practically left and right. Oh, if you want to join the army, go to AOL and click here and click here and we'll show you how you can be all you can be. You know, there was that beginning of the pulling back of the curtain, that kayfabe line wasn't as clear anymore. And so trying to keep that line or whatever, you know, it became more and more difficult. And so the whole, obviously Brian Pillman wouldn't go over nowadays, you know, the stuff that he was saying. While I found it entertaining and funny, I mean, he towed the line without completely crossing it. But I mean, there was at least an inch or two of his foot over that line, you know, but that was also his character. Now, whether or not that would work today, I don't know. That's kind of a hard sell for me, especially with some of the things that he said while entertaining and slightly funny. I just don't know that it would work. King, definitely, you know, going in on, I'm really so incredibly torn with that because when we got, you know, when we consistently get these things that are brought in from a wrestler's personal life, I feel like, you know, especially when they have struggles like this, for example, Jeff Hardy and his alcohol and drug issues, you know, if they want to share that with us as an audience, you know, that's fine. But to create a whole storyline out of it, for example, the whole thing with Matt and Lita and Edge, I'll be honest with you, that was the first time that I stopped watching wrestling because it felt too personal and it felt like it crossed a line. And I have a really hard time with that because when you have a person that's already struggling and then you continuously go in and go in and go in and go in and go in, doesn't matter how strong that person is in their recovery, at some point they're going to break. And, you know, at this point, I want to see Jake the Snake whip the ever-living shit out of King on principle alone. Like, it irks me really, really bad. It really does.
Yeah, I mean, you make a lot of good points, and I can't say it any clearer than you have. That for me is the one huge letdown of Raw, not just this Raw, but the Raw from this era in general, how they take somebody's real life personal struggles and use them to create storylines. It just does not sit well with me at all. So that's the major thing for me that would fall down from this show. Highlights, though, for me is the crowd. I think that you can tell that this is a crowd watching the first hour or so of a wrestling show. They're excited. I think it felt that it was lit better than the shows that we've watched. They seem to have like a very dingy, almost smoky look, where this one felt just like a bigger, more exciting show. And the main event, I thought, despite the DQ screw job finish, I thought that the wrestling was really good. And the introduction of a new character always sits well with me, even if it is a wannabe cosplaying gladiator. But all in all, I think that this is probably the best Raw we've watched so far. At least the most entertaining, even with the jobber matches.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. That you both did not sound convinced at all then.
I mean, that's the thing. It's better, but it's not great. Like I'm not gonna sit here and blow smoke up its ass and be like, hey, you really should go. This is worth you know your Peacock subscription to go in and watch. No, I'm not. You know, there was nothing so huge to write home about. But for what it was, to build to SummerSlam, to inject the new character, to inject some new storylines, to continue other storylines, it's what we would call in regular sitcom, it's a filler episode. It's an episode to get us from point A to point B. And granted, a lot of Raws are like that, to be perfectly honest with you. It's a lot of filler just to get us to the next pay-per-view. It's not the most exciting thing, legitimately, was Farouk coming in and breaking that up and DQ. But it wasn't such a huge thing where it was like, oh, you've got to see this episode. You know, I'm not going to, no. No.
Well, I think there's... Go ahead, Megs.
I was just going to say, and the whole point of this is not to... is not to say that this Raw and this wrestling was all sunshine and roses, because it wasn't at all. This for me, and this particular starting point was to show the way that WWE transitioned into the Attitude Era, which gets so many plaudits and has such a rose-coloured glasses-style fan base that we had to go through this trap, to get to where we are. And we can see the little baby steps that we're getting towards the Attitude Era with Brian Pillman and Austin really kind of growing into his character. I mean, we've seen that guy grow in 4 weeks from someone who wasn't comfortable to now getting to the point where he's giving his boss shit. He's quickly becoming the Stone Cold Steve Austin character. And I think we're seeing that transition. And I think it will help us appreciate more when we get to the deep dark waters of Attitude Era, just how, where we've come from and how we've got to that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just to add on to those two points, because I agree with everything that the both of y'all have just said. But in addition to, I think that there is something that Raw has done pretty well in the episodes that we've watched up to now, and I'm hoping to see this continue as we go. I mean, obviously, we are still very early days as far as a change in attitude is concerned, but they're really rewarding the viewer who sticks around to the end of the show. Like, the biggest things always happen at the very end. They always save the absolute best for last, whether it's a surprise like what we got here, a great match, the return of Psycho Sid, whatever it may be. You are getting rewarded for sticking around to the end, which is not bad. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
So, yeah, that's a really good point, and it kind of segues into next week's episode. So we are staying in Seattle for next week. We have a headline of Austin versus The Undertaker, which was announced on this show. So we've got that to look forward to. But thank you, guys. I really do appreciate you coming on this journey with me. It really means the world. Tanner, where can people find you on the socials?
You can find me on Twitter at TexasGentleman_. Well, you can come talk to me, or you can not talk to me. It's fine. It's whatever. You can tag me in the videos. I'm just I'm existing on the internet. But you can also find the links to all of my content, including this wonderful show, Change in Attitude, as well as Headlock Talk, which I am recording my little Headlock Talk retirement tour as of right now, and just, you know, getting all those episodes sorted, which has been a lot of fun. You can also find me, as well as Mags, doing a show with the magnificent Matt Willis for Radio Techers, where we're watching the Euros, and Mags is going to be watching, I believe you're watching England versus Scotland with Matt and Grant.
Correct.
Ooh, that's going to be a spicy meatball. Mm-hmm. Even though the Italians aren't involved, I don't know why.
Yikes.
I don't know. I haven't drank coffee yet, unlike these two here, so forgive me, everybody. But yeah, that's all of my stuff.
And Aura, please rescue Tanner. Where can we find you? And where especially can we find you streaming Football Manager?
Oh, look, first of all, I will not be streaming Football Manager. First of all, it's a nice thought, but the only thing that makes it entertaining is you guys and Matt Willis. Honestly, that's the only reason I watch European football. I'll say it that way. So, you just completely threw me off. Oh God. Okay, we're not recording in the mornings anymore. This is the only one.
Football Manager.
You asked her to come and save me, and yet you pushed her off the cliff, Meg.
Right? Save me. Shunk. Fly, Ori, fly. You can find me on Twitter at Oriona75. That's Oriona75. You can also find me under the same username on TikTok. You can find me on Twitch Mondays and Friday evenings at 8 p.m. at Oriona7. That's Oriona7. I am looking for new games to play, so if you have some suggestions, please throw those out to me. Unless they are Football Manager, that will not happen.
FIFA 21. FIFA 21.
No. Nice try. Nothing football related, not even American football. No sports. I'm a looter shooter type person. Let me shoot and blow things up, and that's where I'm happy. So, I mean, I've played some Phasmophobia. I've been suggested to play Dead by Daylight. I'm a giant chicken, so I don't know that that would go over well unless you want to hear me scream like every 5 minutes. So, but yeah, that's where you can find me.
Brilliant. Can't wait for those Football Manager streams on your Twitch channel. You can follow me on Twitter at PodfatherMags, and definitely follow this show at ACIA Podcast. And you can also actually send us an email and give us your feedback at changeinattitudepodcast@gmail.com. And we've actually had some really cool feedback from the listeners on Twitter, guys like Steve O, Scottish Juggalo, Ricky and Clav, and Sa Powell of all let us know that they're really enjoying the show and actually really watching along with us, which is so cool to get those feedback and get their opinions. We really do appreciate it, and yeah, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for taking this show and following the journey with us. Yeah, we really do appreciate that. But guys, that's another Raw in the books. Join us again next week, same time, for the 29th of July 1996, or but we are out of here, and remember to always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.